Hello, Grandview Calvary Baptist Church. Christ is risen indeed. He's alive and he's busy redeeming the broken world. As I was thinking about a redemption story to share with the Grandview community, the picture of the meal we shared with friends after Easter Sunday service came to my mind. On Easter, Grace and I invited a few friends over for a special Easter meal after the service. Among our guests was Mvukie, a man from the Twa tribe and a member of our church. The Twa people are marginalized and despised in Burundi. In fact, Hutu and Tutsis traditionally don't share food with Twa people. According to our tradition, Mvukie was not supposed to sit at the table with the other guests, let alone share the meal with them. Why is it like that? I don't know. It's hard to tell. What is certain, however, this tradition is seated or streams from our cultural scene as Burundians, that tendency to hurt the other, to dehumanize the other. Mvukie grew up experiencing this kind of prejudice. From several conversations I've had with him, this exclusion, this rejection based on who he is, marred his human, his personhood. It is hard for him now to trust and accept those who have looked down on him and his tribe for so many years. And who can blame him? Who really can? But fortunately, something happened to Mvukie that changed his life. He encountered the gospel of Jesus Christ, which transformed his life and included him in the wider community of God, the wider family of the living God. The meal we shared on Easter was for both Mvukie and me a living testimony to the redeeming power of the cross of Jesus Christ. Those who used to despise each other are now one in Christ. Because Christ made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility in his flesh. His purpose, Paul says, is to create one new man out of the two, so that, as Jesus said in John, there would be one flock, the redeemed, and one shepherd, the redeemer. Christ redeems, he transforms, he heals. Glory to his name. Amen.
Scripture passage for this week is taken from John chapter 20.
And Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out with your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So on Easter, we heard the story of Mary, who went to look for Jesus at his grave. When she met Jesus, she thought he was a gardener. It wasn't until Jesus called her name that she recognized Jesus and believed the good news. Immediately following that story, there is a change in location. From early morning at the garden to evening in a locked room. There, the group of disciples are all together. They were afraid because the people who killed Jesus might be looking to kill them. The disciples were afraid and confused. The morning on the third day after Jesus was crucified, they heard that Jesus' tomb was empty. Some of the people even saw him there. There was some strange encounter with men dressed in white saying nonsense about Jesus being not dead. The disciples were bewildered. John 20, 21 says, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. In the days before zombie movies, the most normal explanation for seeing someone who had previously died was that they were a ghost. But Jesus shows his disciples his hands and his side. Jesus shows them that he's not a ghost. He was alive, a resurrected person. The disciples' confusion, fear and grief were replaced with joy. Then Thomas came. He wasn't around when Jesus made his first appearance. Last time we heard from Thomas was way back in chapter 11, when Thomas was not a doubter. In chapter 11, Jesus decides to go towards Jerusalem. Thomas is pretty quick on the uptake. He understood what heading towards Jerusalem probably meant. And he said, let us also go that we may die with him. Thomas doesn't sound like a cheery fellow. Thomas is like Puddle Glum from the Chronicles of Narnia, who at one point in the Silver Chair looks at the dangerous path ahead of him and his friends and comments, well, the bright side is if we break our necks getting down the cliff, we're safe from being drowned in the river. Puddle Glum and Thomas are both brave, but neither are optimists. When Thomas returns to the disciples, he doesn't mix his words. In verse 25, he says, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. At times, it's hard to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. It's a story that often feels far away from our own experience, so far that it's tough to believe. It's tempting to run away from that doubt, because it makes us feel uncomfortable. But that's not what Thomas does. He's honest about his doubt. The story continues in verse 26. A week later, the disciples were together and Thomas was with them. The disciples didn't kick the doubter out of their group. They made room for the person with the outlier beliefs. And Thomas continued, despite his doubt, to be a part of that faith community. He continued seeking and waiting on the Lord. I wonder what their conversations were like for that week. That little half verse says a lot about both the character of the community, the character of Thomas himself. I like that Thomas stayed in community, even though he was still grieving and doubting. I like that the community made room for his doubts and grief in the midst of their joy in the resurrection. While they were all still afraid and hiding behind locked doors, Jesus showed up again and said, "Peace be with you." I wonder what Thomas was feeling at that moment. After listening to his friends talk about the resurrection for a week, wrestling with the story, unable to believe, still deep in grief, and then there he was, Jesus. I imagine that his stomach was churning, his knees probably shaking a little bit. Jesus went to Thomas and said, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Jesus showed Thomas his wounds. "Put your finger here, reach out your hand and put it in my side." That sounds vulnerable. That part of the story stuck with me this week. I read a quote from a pastor out in the US saying that maybe this Thomas story is asking us to believe the stories of wounded people. On Wednesday, when we had a Zoom group and we discussed racism, some people in our community shared really vulnerable stories of being racially targeted. Those stories happened right here in Vancouver. I wonder if one of the invitations from God might be to believe those who share those painful stories of being targets of racist actions, to give those stories more weight in our understanding of the state of our neighborhood and world. When Jesus showed Thomas his wounds, Thomas understood what they meant and replied, "My Lord and my God." For the second time in John, Thomas showed his deep and quick-thinking mind. Thomas is the first disciple in the gospel to get Jesus's full identity. Jesus was God. He seems to have used that week of doubt to really wonder about what it would mean if Jesus had rose from the dead. Jesus told Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Believing stories that seem different from our own experience can be difficult. For those of us who struggle with doubt, who find it difficult to believe in a world that seems to challenge any religious belief, I think there are a few invitations in this story of Thomas. Stay in community. Keep listening. Wait on Jesus and believe.